are not live. All right, one second. All right. Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Today we are waiting for Tesla to be added into the S&P 500. This is our last day of trading before it happens, so it's been a long time coming. Today's conversation is going to be more casual than our normal podcast because I'm tapped out. Oh, this has been a long time coming. This has been a long time coming. I feel like I've been prepping for this for, I don't know, what would it have been? End of June when Tesla sort of announced 90,000 deliveries or something like that. So it's been a while. It's been a lot of work. I think we've done, what, two hours of episodes on S&P 500 inclusion? I don't know, something crazy like that. So let's introduce what we're looking at here on my screen. But again, this is just going to be a hangout. Like, I don't have any agenda here. I'll keep an eye on what's going on in the live chat. Sounds very low. All right, well, let's fix that. How about now? How about now? Testing. Love you guys. Robbie, speak up. All right. I'm gonna wait for that to go through. Hopefully, you guys. Much better audio. Sweet. Thank you guys for the super chats. I appreciate that. I'll try to keep my eye out for those and I'll try to at least come back to them a little bit later on. So first, I just want to, orientate you guys. Orientate, whichever you prefer. They're both words. Some of you have criticized me in the comment section before on that, but they're both words. So to orientate with what we're looking at here. Let's see. Can you guys see my mouse? Barely. All right. So this is Fidelity's Active Trader Pro. I'm not doing anything fancy in here. I'm not an active trader pro. I'm an investor longer term, but just thought it would be nice to kind of have in the background, and my face is too big on the live stream otherwise. So we can kind of keep an eye on what Tesla's doing here live. It'll be like 10 seconds delayed for you guys, but shouldn't be too bad. So the stock price will be down here, and then we can just kind of see the chart here. So this is a 1 minute chart. That's sort of the best frequency I can get. Let me see if I can zoom in here a little bit. Yeah, so that doesn't look too bad. So we're just seeing the movements on 1 minute intervals. And then you can see the simple moving average. That's a 20-minute simple moving average. So you can kind of see how things have been trending. We've definitely been flattening out here. Not much action. As we talked about the last couple of days, things are just gonna be waiting until that on-close order. So I do have some new information on that that I want to discuss here. So I'll pull up my notes in a second, we can go through those. I feel like I'm kind of losing my voice here, so give me a sec. Thanks, Bernardo. Bernardo. Really appreciate that. All right, let me get to some of these questions. Oh, I saw some mention of short shorts. I thought about hanging those up in the background. Maybe we'll do like a little unboxing. I haven't actually taken them out of the package yet. Oh, I meant to start it off this way, but I do apologize for yesterday's live stream mishap. Guys, it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating for me. I know it sucks to be sitting there and waiting for a live stream that doesn't happen. I know you guys take time out of your day to sit there and wait. I think we had like 1,500 people waiting, so feels bad, man. But the issue, so sometimes I use OBS, sometimes I use Ecamm Live, and Ecamm Live is supposed to pull this NDI in from Skype. And when I did it with Dave Lee earlier this week or last week or whenever that was, it was fine. When I tried to set it up with Rich, for some reason that just wasn't working. So super frustrating, we couldn't get it to work. And then the audio is really tricky because I have multiple different sources here to pull in from. So when I don't have that NDI working, I have a backup from Zoom, but then my audio for that wasn't working. So frustrating. But anyway, luckily it looks like Tesla's not going too crazy right now. Again, I think a lot of that's going to happen on close. So I'm going to wrap this live stream up probably 15 minutes before close. We'll just kind of hang out until then. And maybe I'll just leave it up so people can chat in the live chat. I'll see what you guys think about that. But I have to make trades, obviously. Hair's getting out of control back there. But I've got to make trades. So, and obviously I can't be, you know, sharing my screen during all that stuff. My account information would pop up and that would not be good. Okay, so let me pull up my notepad here. I've had some interesting conversations over the last couple of days. I have not been able to publish those, to broadcast them. But I have some information from Sellsiders. I can't say where, but... So yesterday I talked to a couple of people, and then today I talked to an active trader that is helping facilitate all of the transaction today, all of this, you know, inclusion transaction. So maybe let's start with that latter one. So he said, you know, his math is that net, there should be about demand for 100 million shares from this inclusion. That's, you know, all the math that we have walked through. But what he also said is that, so he's netting that out. Obviously, when we've walked through it, it's been about 115 million shares. They're getting a little bit higher number than that. The reason for that, as we've talked about, is that $4.6 trillion in assets, that number that I'm using, that comes from year end of 2019. And obviously the S&P 500 is up 15% since then. So there's actually more assets under management. That means there's a bigger, you know, at 1.5, 1.6% weight, there needs to be a bigger amount bought, which means ends up meaning more shares. So I think that ends up being around 130 million. And then what he is saying is net, there are, you know, maybe 30 million of shares that are in other index tracking funds or things like that that will need to be sold off as this is included. So basically what we could think of that is there's the S&P 500 fund, index tracking fund or index, S&P 500 index. And then there's also the S&P completeness index. With that completeness index, this is what happens when we're live. When that completeness index, what that does is it just includes everything that is not in the S&P 500. So you can imagine it like the Vanguard Total Stock Index Fund. That's just every stock that's, you know, publicly traded. The S&P completeness fund would essentially just be that minus all the 500 stocks, 505 stocks or whatever in the S&P 500. So, and there's 505 because some have dual listings. 500 companies. So anyway, the point here is that the S&P completeness index, as well as other indexes, indices like that, have about 30 million shares per this person's, the numbers that they've ran, this trader. So net demand for 130, but 30 million of that is easily filled by indexes that are indices that are closing their position out as this transferred over. So net leaving 100 million shares. The other interesting part about this, so that's big, obviously, that's big. He did confirm basically everything that we talked about with Rich yesterday, everything we've been talking about for the last couple of days. These index funds are trying to track exactly, they're trying to reduce their tracking error as much as they can. So they want Tesla shares on the closing price. They don't want it below the closing price. They don't want it above the closing price. They want it on the closing price. That will get their tracking error to be zero. So as we talked about, there is the market on close order that will allow them to get that exact price. And from everything I'm hearing, all the conversations I've had, that's what they're going to do. They're going to try to get 100 million shares in the last 5 minutes of trading today at that closing price. That being said, index arbitrage, according to this trader, is a huge, huge business. And there are hedge funds that have been preparing for this for So we had the announcement 35 days ago, but there have been hedge funds that have been preparing for this for, he said, even the last year. So yes, there is need for 100 million shares, but hedge funds have known about that and anticipated that for a long time. A long time. Like, we've had plenty of time since the announcement, but we could see that Tesla was going to become profitable, and once they became profitable, would be eligible for inclusion. We talked about that even before the end of Q2. So people know that, and they anticipated it. So this trade has been in the works behind the scenes for a long time. And obviously, since the inclusion announcement, we've seen a big spike. There's been other news too. It's not just that, but temper expectations if you think that this is going to get way out of control based on that. I still don't really understand how it's going to go down, but it is very important to understand that something as obvious as this, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. That's why you often get something like buy the rumor, sell the news. Well, that's a little bit different, but sort of similar thought process. So the other thing that I want to add on that, and then we'll kind of talk about how things go into next week. The other thing I want to add to that point is that people can short on close, and they can do limit short orders on close. So a lot of people are sitting here and saying, oh, I'm going to put a limit in for selling at $950 a share, $1,200 a share, $1,800 a share, just in case there's some, you know, infinity squeeze that happens. I don't expect something like that to happen. And one of the reasons for that is what I just talked about. These hedge funds are prepping. They're ready for index arbitrage. As we go into close, there's the closing cross, and that will show the imbalance. And then as the imbalance is shown, these hedge funds and these high frequency traders are going to make sure that that gap is closed, so the imbalance goes away. And that's going to affect the price, but it's not going to probably take it to, you know, crazy levels. We'll see. Catching my breath here. What was the point I was making? This is why we're not live every day. So, you can short sell limit order on close. So, what could happen is if you have this really big spike, or even if you have this theory that there might be a really big spike, hedge funds can place a limit on close order to sell short, and they only need to borrow shares for that to happen. They don't actually need to buy shares to short. Obviously, that's the transaction. You're borrowing shares, and then you're selling them into the market. So what a lot of people don't understand is that creates liquidity. That creates additional float, essentially, because you have, for every share that is sold short, you have two people that think that they own it. You have the person that lent it out. They lent it out to the short seller, and then you have the person that bought it from the short seller. So that first person, let's say I let my shares be borrowed for, you know, some small fee, then I still have ownership over my shares, but whoever I lent it to, they're going to go and sell it short, and then the person buying that, they also believe that they own their shares, which they do. So if you imagine just like a three-party transaction there, and let's say there's only one share in existence, make it simple, I have my share, I lend it to the short seller, and they sell it to the third person. We both think we own the one share of the company, but there's only one share. So that's how it creates additional liquidity, because it adds shares into the market because multiple people think they own the same shares. Now, this works up to a certain point because obviously you need to have those shares available. Like, if I want my share back, I need to do that. And if we're in this scenario where there's only three of us, if I say, hey, short seller, give me my share back, I'm done lending it to you, they need to give it back to me. But that means they need to go and buy it from the market. And if the market is only this one other guy sitting here, then he can demand any price he wants, and maybe they can't even get that share back. So obviously with a market with, you know, millions of participants, you don't run into that scenario as often, but it's just a matter of, you know, supply and demand then at that point. The point though is that that shorting can create additional liquidity, especially in a trade like this. So there will be they could set up orders and say, if Tesla were to get to $1,000 per share, just short the heck out of it, because we don't see that as being sustainable. Obviously, that's going to take a lot of capital. They need to have the shares there to be able to borrow those, but it is a possible trade that they can make, and that could keep things from, you know, getting crazy out of hand. The other thing on the short selling part of it is, if we look at you know, where short interest has been, I don't have it up right now in front of me. I meant to pull it up, but it's declined significantly. I think we're at like 40 million shares sold short right now. And in the past, that probably has been, I want to say it's been as high as like 120, 140 million. So it wouldn't be unprecedented for short interest to go up to that point. It's not going to. I'm just saying, as an example, there have been, you know, tens of millions of shares sold short before. So theoretically, short selling could fund this entire transaction. Then they would just have to, you know, buy that back over the course of time, hoping that the stock went down. But the point is, it could work as a cap. Man, what's going on with the stock here? We're dropping to 660 pretty quick. Let's take a look at that. Sorry for yawning. Not a lot of sleep this week. I think you guys can see this. Let me make sure. Yeah. So we saw these, you know, pretty significant drops here in the last 3 minutes. And the volume ticked up a little bit. So that's what's down here. This is volume. And you can see, and again, I'm not like a technical trader. This is just me interpreting stuff. Super basic stuff. But this graph along the bottom here is volume. So we're seeing actually pretty high volume on this downswing. You know, who knows what to make of that? Is it true you aren't shaving your beard until 1,000? Well, I trim my beard. I don't shave it usually. So I guess. There's some green again. So for me personally, I don't, you know, I do have, as I mentioned, I have options that expire today. So I need to trade those. Like, I don't have a choice. For my core position, based on what I know, I don't think there's going to be some crazy spike. I did ask Fidelity if they would do, if there was any way to do a limit on close order, and just in case, you know, put in, I hadn't picked a price, but, you know, let's say 1200 or something. Just in case, you know, it's not something I expect to happen, but Fidelity is not able to facilitate a limit on close order for me. Who knows? Maybe bigger fish can get that done, but I am a small fish. So, all right. Hopefully that makes sense with the short selling stuff of it, piece of it. Then, let's see, I'm just looking at my notes here. So yeah, he's saying basically 100 million shares, buy on close. We'll see how it goes. About 5 and 10 minutes before, we can start to see that imbalance. I think they actually start communicating that at 3:50 Eastern. So what's interesting about this is the benchmark fund. So this goes to my conversation with the trader, as well as my other conversation yesterday. And I think a lot of people have been expecting this big spike this week, and then, okay, the buying is done. We're going to see a big drop next week. Well, the interesting part about this is the benchmark funds then. So we kind of know what's happening with these tracking funds. They're just trying to get Tesla on the close at 1.5, 1.6%. Simple enough, you know, complex, but simple enough. Benchmark funds, they're trying to get alpha. So they're trying to get variance, positive variance, from the S&P 500. To do that, they can employ a number of strategies. They could just have a completely different basket of stocks that, you know, isn't based on the S&P 500 at all, in which case they could already have Tesla, they could not already have Tesla. They're kind of one group. There would be another group of funds that they try to make their alpha with weighting. So they might have a basket of stocks similar to the S&P 500, but they adjust the weight by sector. Maybe they're more bullish on consumer or energy or, you know, whatever else, biotech. So they could take the stocks in the S&P 500 and they can say, okay, we're just going to add 20% weight to all those biotech stocks and we'll just pull everything else down in accordance. And then if biotech outperforms, well, naturally you beat your benchmark. Pretty simple. So there's those kinds. I would guess those would be the main two types of strategies to create variance. The other you could do pretty similar weighting, but you could just pick and choose stocks that you're not going to include and try to generate your alpha from that. So you could say like, okay, we're going to have Apple, we're going to have Google, we're going to have Facebook. We don't want Exxon. We're just going to kick that out. But otherwise, the weightings are all going to be the same. If Exxon underperforms, there you go. Again, you have your alpha. So there's a lot of different ways they can structure this. But when we're looking at the basket of stocks, Tesla goes from being not in the basket to now being in the basket. And that means these fund managers have to make a decision, and their decision is going to vary based on how they are, you know, set up and what strategy they're employing. So we don't know what they're all going to do. Someone's saying read the chat. Hopefully it's all, everything's working. Making me nervous. So the, if we have these funds, Tesla's not in the basket, it's coming in the basket. They need to decide what they're doing. As we've talked about before, the simplest decision is just to take Tesla into their basket and put it at equal weight, because then it is not going to be something that is causing that alpha. It's not going to cause them to have variance from their benchmark. So the no decision would be to just add Tesla at market close. Then you're just going to track the S&P 500 with that 1.6% weight that Tesla would hold. If you don't do that, then you have to make a decision. You have to either buy Tesla on the market, which is going to create some variance, or you just have to not add Tesla, or, you know, whatever else you want to do. But you're going to create variance from however you decide that. So the conversation that I had, this person said that they are receiving calls from benchmark fund managers that have, his quote, more money than God, and they are unhappy with the situation because they need to make a call now. And this is something that previously they could ignore. So I'm just trying to find my notes on this conversation here to see what the exact quotes were. I have too many notes. So bear with me here. All right, yeah, I got it. So he was just coming off a 1-hour call with his, you know, a big manager. And he said he can, quote, 100% sanction the idea that institutional investors are tied in knots about this inclusion. They are losing sleep. They are losing sleep, end quote. Got to get quote unquote in there. But the reason for that is because before they could just ignore Tesla, now they have to make a call on Tesla. The no call call is just to add it at close. So instead of seeing 100 million, like we know we're going to see from 100 million shares, like we know we're going to see from the index tracking funds, if all those benchmark funds make the no decision, then that's another, you know, I can't remember the numbers right now, but it's another like 200 million shares or something like that. So that's why they're having to deal with this difficult decision of, okay, like, what do? We just add Tesla here then at close, or, you know, when everyone else is trying to, or do we try to add it before? Do we try to add it after? And this, and then, so that kind of brings me into the conversation that I had today with the trader. And this is a, you know, professional trader for a bank that's managing the trades again for this inclusion for institutional clients. And what he said is that he doesn't really expect this to drop next week, because any drops that there would be in Tesla would be a way for these benchmark funds to generate alpha. Because if they can get the same weight position in Tesla at a lower price, then they automatically lock in some alpha. And what's interesting about that is that that will theoretically, you know, depending on what happens before, what happens after, it should provide some support, because every time the stock falls below whatever the closing price today is, these benchmark funds can then scoop it up, and then that'll help them generate their alpha for, you know, the end of the year. And the end of the year here is particularly important, because who knows what's going to happen with Tesla end of year. Like, we're coming up on Q4. What if Elon Musk emails everyone and says, like, hey, we already hit 500,000, but we think we can get, you know, 20,000 more, like, work hard, everybody. Super hypothetical, that would be a ridiculous email. But if there's some email or something that comes out and it's super bullish and then the stock price rises, that will hit their benchmark before the end of the year. That will be in the S&P 500. That movement will reflect on their benchmark. If they don't have a position before the end of the year in Tesla, that's going to cause them negative alpha. So as we approach the end of the year, again, the simplest decision is just to include it, especially when there's just only a couple of weeks left here before the end of the year. Like, why not just add it and then try to figure out what you're going to do with it next year once you have a little bit more time to research things and stuff like that. So I thought that was super interesting. I think it was a good argument for, you know, support for the stock going forward into next week. You know, we'll see what happens at the closing cross today, but super interesting. All right. Getting a little hoarse here. So I'm going to take a slight break and I'm going to check out some of the comments here and catch my breath. How many people we got watching this? $8,500. My God. All right, I hope all that made sense. It's a little more difficult to walk through live, but like I said, I'm tapped. I can't do like a full polished episode today. I think I'm going to do maybe a live stream afterward, you know, if probably not as long as this one, but once I get all my, you know, all my trades sorted, which shouldn't be a lot. Again, I'm just mostly holding, but where can I buy your hat? I love these random questions. This is from Gap, but it was like 2 or 3 years ago. Sorry, bear with me as I just read here and try to catch up on some of these super chats. Man, I'm looking forward to this being done though. What? Come on, YouTube. You won't let me scroll up farther than that? YouTube has so much opportunity to make this process better. I should not have to work through Ecamm Live to pull chats on screen or to pull Skype into my interviews. Like, why do they not have their own software for this? Ridiculous. Oh, what was that I'm seeing in the background here? Is this? I do not have my. What is that? Well, if anyone knows what this is, let me know. I don't know why that's looks that way. I can't even scroll down to see that. Oh, all right. Oh, one other thing here that I meant to talk about earlier. Let me switch over to this view, something that's kind of interesting. One of the things that I do not understand about the closing cross trade is the 10% limit. So I meant to address it. It was something I overlooked in my notes when we'd gone through it on Wednesday. But there is part of the closing cross trade. Actually, let me even see if I can pull that up. That might be easier. Had Electric up here just to make sure I didn't miss anything crazy. Maybe that's not what I wanted. NASDAQ, MOC, FAQ. Maybe this will get us there. Hopefully nothing crazy happens as I'm popping around here. Here we go. All right, let me just get that orientated for you guys. Hold, please. Okay, well, that's not working. Perfect. Looks great. All right, so this is sort of the frequently asked questions of the closing cross. So this is where we got a lot of the information we went through on Wednesday. So they talk about how there's a 10% threshold. So they say the threshold of 10% is utilized to calculate a price range for the cross. 10% of the NASDAQ best bid and offer. So that's just the bid and the ask. They call it the QBBO. So they're looking at the midpoint just between the bid and the ask, and they're saying the threshold for the closing cross is 10% off of that midpoint in either direction, so a 20% range. And I believe this would be like on the final bid ask. But it doesn't really necessarily say that. So it says threshold of 10% is utilized to calculate a price range for the cross, 10%. So I assume it must be the last trade. All right, well, you guys don't have to watch me read that and not understand it still, but what was interesting here is there's this Wall Street Journal article. And they talk in this little paragraph here about how the NASDAQ has been talking about. So they're saying NASDAQ operator and regulators discussed increasing price limits on the stock to allow it to move more than the maximum 10% currently allowed before a pause in trading. And this is part of that closing cross trade, because they're talking here about tracking error, which is based on that closing price. So what do I make of that? I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. I think Truth Tesla found that on Twitter, or he had retweeted someone. So sorry, I can't give better, more accurate credit than that, but kind of interesting that they even, you know, talked about it. But again, it just, you know, they talked about it moving more than 10%, but it also goes to show just how much attention there is on this trade, you know, across the entire investing community, honestly. All right, let me get back to our little window here. See what's happening. 660. It's kind of tough not to be bummed by the price, but, you know, just based on how it's moved since this morning. But I think most of the move today is pretty irrelevant during the day. And if we close at 660, hey, that's great. All-time high close. Fitting for the inclusion. All right, let me get back to the chat here. Am I going to stream till market end? I plan to end like 15 to 30 minutes before, just because I need to get my house in order, and I can't do that live. Okay. Again, bear with me as I try to get into the chats here. Super chat from Blast: when will you shave your beard? Again, mostly just trim the beard, but I don't know. I mean, it's not that bad. Like, it's well kept. People hating on the beard. My hair is way worse than my beard. And that I'm just growing out because why not, you know? Quit my job last year. Corporate retail. Couldn't really grow it out then, so taking the opportunity with quarantine. I know it looks bad, you know. I'm not disillusioned that it looks great. let's see if I can pull both of these things up here. Yeah, 657. Yeah, I don't know, maybe people are getting scared and trying to bail out end of day. 10 years it'll be higher. Please explain the closing cross. Well, I would probably go back and watch the final 5 to 7 minutes of my episode on Wednesday. It's called Dark Pools and the Closing Cross. Sounds like a Harry Potter book. But basically what the Closing Cross is it's a period of time where there's, you know, extreme transparency between what orders have been placed for to be filled on close. Those orders need to be placed before 3:55 p.m. Eastern time, which is 5 minutes before close. Once those are there, they're locked in. So that's what gives that extra visibility. You don't have these bids and asks that can be in your order book that then go away. These are there and they're locked in. So once that's published, that's where this, you know, high frequency trading, these index arbitrageurs, arbiters, I don't know, whatever the word for that is. All these people are going to look at that and they're going to, you know, they're going to make the trades that are required to fill this. So that's what's happening during that closing cross, is just trying to create that balance between all these market orders. And then there's, you know, limit on close orders that can be paired up with market on close orders. As long as they would fit that threshold, you know, they'll pair the closest limits first and then, you know, keep going on out. So, and all that then equalizes the price at some midpoint in that last 5 minutes. And then when it hits close, all the paired shares are all transacted at that same closing price. So everyone that's involved in an on close order gets the exact same price, and that price will be exactly what the price for waiting purposes is used in the S&P 500 edition. So then there's no tracking error, and that's their goal. So Nitcoin asks, can we close options expiring today and after hours? You need to call your broker. You might have like 5 minutes to do that. Normally, if there's a position, it depends on your account. So if you have enough cash to cover the exercise of that option, they won't do anything. But if you're relying on margin to cover that, again, it depends on your account, but your broker might just go ahead and sell that right away, right on close. Or not on close. They can sell it whenever they want to. They have that, you know, if you're in a margin account, they have that permission. So they might close you out if you don't tell them not to. Some brokerages are going to let you, even if you are in an IRA or if you're in a margin position with options, some brokers are going to let you hold that into expiration, which would be at close. But you can actually, for options, you can actually exercise them in after hours. So they should let you hold it. You can't trade an option after hours, but you can exercise it. So you just need to be aware of what your broker is going to let you do and speak to them about that trade. I know that because I'm in that position. Closing cross. Do limit orders get filled at limit price or final trade price? Normal limit orders will get filled at the limit price, and that'll happen before close if they cross the limit, just like a normal limit. If you're doing a limit on close order, that's different. That'll be on close. It'll be on the on close price, but only if it's above or below whatever limit you put, depending on which way the transaction's going. Which brokerage trading software do you use? Fidelity, but only it's like happenstance. That was where I had my first account and I've just stuck with them. I know a lot of people like Interactive Brokers. Why did you finance the Tesla? Man, I still don't have the Model 3. Hopefully soon here. Financed it in general, interest rates are like 2 to 3%. I'm confident that I can exceed that with my money in the market. So it doesn't make sense to not finance it then. Rob looks tired AF. You're not wrong. I don't think I look that tired. Please don't leave us 3:45. We're scared. I don't want to leave you guys. I'm sad. I don't want to. I'm trying to figure out if I can. How I can do this. The problem is that I would be using the software that I'm showing here to do my trading. Although, I don't even know. I'm probably not even going to do any trading. So Rob is borrowing money to put in the market. Yeah, I suppose technically, but I mean, if you have a mortgage and you have invested money, like you're also borrowing money to put it in the market. Full screen the webcam. That's not as exciting. If the overall market goes extreme bearish for a few years, do you expect Tesla to grow steadily, still grow steadily? The stock, who knows? That can, stock prices are rarely tied to fundamentals, I think. And I'm excited to move on from this S&P event because we've been talking way too much about the stock price. I'm excited to get back to the fundamentals, especially here for Q4 close. But yeah, I mean, for the stock, if there's an economic downturn, Tesla's not going to be immune to that. But fundamentally, Tesla, I think, is in a very strong position, and I think we saw that during the during March and April when there was the market dropped, I don't know, what was it, 30%? Obviously, Tesla stock went down 50 or 60%, but Tesla was still selling all the vehicles they could make. I think Tesla, that was a really, really good indicator of how strong the demand is for Tesla. That gave me a lot of confidence that Tesla could be, demand constrained even in a period where, let's say Q2, for example, US automotive sales were down 33%. Tesla sales were only down 5%. So, and that's part of the raising capital, the 10 billion that Tesla's recently raised. That's big for them. If there were to be a downturn, that gives them a lot of runway. Someone said Yahoo seems to be updating faster than your software. So the thing is, that's not my software, that's YouTube. The stream's always delayed by like 10 seconds. And I don't think there's anything I can do about that, unfortunately. Oh, just full screen the web. Oh, I see what you're saying. Full stream, yeah. You guys want to watch me look at my computer while I try to navigate my trades? Oh, we'll see. We'll see. Repping SpaceX today, by the way. Hopefully fitting. I think they've got another launch tomorrow, last of the year. YouTube is slow. YouTube is slow, I agree. Stream on Twitch, it's like a 2 second delay. Yeah, maybe. Could be a good idea. See a lot of yeses. I'm not sure what that's about. Maybe me staying on. Oh, SpaceX, yeah. Full screen and then beard up close. Ugh, you don't want to see that. I actually specifically moved my camera further away today. All right, we're at 2:30. 28 minutes before market close. I think one of these had an until market close. I'm gonna take a brief check on my phone just to make sure nothing is blowing up. Nothing too crazy. Are you a Brewers fan? I'm not a big baseball guy. I used to be a Cubs fan. But yeah, since I've lived in Milwaukee for 8 years now, so I'd say I'm a fan of Milwaukee sports, Bucks and Brewers. Brewers games are super fun, even if you're not like a baseball or Milwaukee person. If you're ever in town, hit those up when things are normal again. All right. Serene keeps asking, Rob, how long should I hold Tesla? Are institutional investors manipulating the price so we sell? So, two-part question. The first part, that's all up to you. You know, that's everyone needs to make their own individual decision on that. I'm never going to tell anyone when to buy or sell. If I do, I've made a mistake, I think. So, that's all up to everybody. What I try to do is I try to give people information so they can make their best decisions for themselves. That's my whole everything. That's my focus is trying to do that. And part of that is hopefully educating people about like the dynamics of different scenarios and stuff, and you know, learning for myself as well. And then the second part, are institutions manipulating things? I mean, there's never going to be an answer to that question. Probably at times. But I think a lot of times people can be reading into that too much, and it's a lot easier to manipulate a company that doesn't have a $600 billion market cap. You know, when Tesla was 20 billion or 30 billion, I think there's probably more manipulation. Now it's a little bit more difficult, especially because of the Tesla community. Like, we collectively have made it more difficult to, you know, put out something that is blatantly manipulative, that is not factual. Because so many people are aware of good information sources now. How are you able to keep your cool and not laugh when bears you are long interviewing say the dumbest things? I don't know. That's my nature. Looks like I should have closed my options this morning. That's a bummer. We'll see what happens, though. This is why I'm not a trader, you know. It's a small part of my position. What stocks do you like in Neopets right now? Oh my gosh. I wish I knew. I feel like we need to start like a Neopets chat group for people that played it. Maybe we can start playing it again. Start up Neopets daily. Neopets and baby platypus daily. I wonder if I could get a baby platypus Neopet. Oh my gosh. That would be amazing. Anyway, I don't know. I haven't looked at the Neopets stock market for a while. My account got deleted. It was inactive. If anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, I used to play Neopets, and I said on my interview with Dave that Neopets is like this online pet game, but it had like a full economy, which was awesome. There was like a stock market, banks, you could have a store where you'd sell stuff that you know, price all your individual items. It was actually pretty advanced for like, I don't know, early 2000s. Dang, 640. 638, 630. Whew. It's getting hammered. Sorry. Like, this, I know it's unfortunate, but. Yeah, people with calls. So this is what's really rough. So people with calls, like the stock is down, you know, 3% right now. Cool. 3%. What a normal day for Tesla. But when you're in options, there are different, I events that are scheduled that people are aware of in the time horizon of your option contract. And when that event passes, you get this thing called an IV crush, which is an implied volatility crush. So let's say earnings happens. When that big event that people anticipate moving the stock a lot happens, you get that IV crush, and that destroys the value of options contracts. So that can work for you if you sold the contract. That value gets destroyed. That means you win on that trade. But if you purchased an option and you get that IV crush, then you're relying more on the intrinsic value. This is probably a little bit too deep because we haven't really done preface education on options contracts, but the point here being that moves are exacerbated for options contracts, even just normally, but especially on these days where you have these big events, things like some options contracts are probably down 80% right now. If you're sitting at a 700 strike for today, the value of that is going to be so much lower than it was even just 20 minutes ago when Tesla was at, 640 or 670, I mean. I'm gonna zoom out so we can kind of see that. I don't know what these big spikes here were. I know you can't really see my cursor very well. Again, I don't spend a lot of time looking at views like this, so I'm not really super familiar with them. Kind of just put them up to have something to look at. Oh, I wish I had a more fully formed strategy here. People are taking their profits, LOL. I would probably agree with that. People get scared. It's like, oh, it's over. I'm still super curious to see what happens the last 5 minutes. I just don't know. All right, I need to get water. I'll leave the stream up. You guys can see my setup behind me. Oh, okay, it's clean. Cool. All right, I'll be right back. Don't worry, I'm back. Vodka in the glass. Straight out of the fridge. Yep, totally. Nah, it would be Tesla tequila, if anything. I got my delivery of that. Should we do like an unboxing? I was considering doing an unboxing, but I didn't know if people would care or be interested. Anyone know why Rob's Wall says the street? I do. So the street's a financial website, thestreet.com. I am a contributing writer there, or I guess contributing publisher, which consists of me posting my videos there and occasionally writing some articles. But I did do an interview this morning for that. That should be out somewhat soon. Oh, hey, Pat Flynn's in the house. Awesome. Hey, Pat. If you guys don't know Pat Flynn, he's got an awesome podcast, Smart Passive Income Podcast. Something that I used to listen to back in the day before I actually started my podcast. And we've got an interview coming up on Smart Passive Income. I think that's where it's getting posted. And that should be out, I think, the first week of January. We recorded that probably a month ago. 6:30. I mean, this would be more fun if it was going in the opposite direction. Why are people saying last 5 minutes? It's because of the closing cross trade. That's when all the volume is going to come today. Not all of it, but so far there's been. Oh, real volume did really pick up here though. Where's that total volume at? Again, not an expert at looking at this. Oh, here we go. Hopefully that's big enough you guys can see. So 85 million shares today. There should still be another, I don't know, 150 million that need to be traded here. 100 million at close, I don't know. So, you know, if all of this theorizing is correct, we should see the volume double in the last 5 minutes, basically. Who knows? I'm trying to learn as much as you guys are. But anyway, Pat's got an awesome podcast. You should all check it out. He does a great job. Part of the inspiration for me starting a podcast. Looks like market manipulation now. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? Could just be people getting scared, or could be hedge funds realizing that, you know, the somehow they're figuring out that the volume is, or that the trades may be already more completed than what they had originally thought. Who knows? Anyone telling you why a certain stock is moving a certain way? Not all the time, but a lot of times it's very speculative. Obviously, if there's a big event like earnings, it's pretty clear. Joe Rogan didn't inspire you. No, I mean, I liked Fear Factor. Nothing against Joe. Seems like he's got a, you know, a really good podcast. And I like the format. I just don't happen to watch it personally. Right, I'm gonna try and figure some stuff out here. So give me a couple minutes to look at some stuff. I do want to keep the stream going. I just need to also sort of prepare. I'm terrified of accidentally showing something on my screen that I don't intend to show. Oh, sorry, I messed up my view. Classic. There we go. Okay. So what I'm trying to look for is I purchased access to the NASDAQ net imbalance order indicator. So I'm trying to pull that up, which I don't think really does anything until the last 5 minutes. Data disseminates between 3:50 and 4 p.m. So all right, you know what? We'll do it live. I'll leave out the cursing, but we'll do it live. Let me figure out. I don't know. All right, give me a couple seconds here. I think I'm going to be stopped from showing what I want to show by not having Flash in Safari. Classic. Okay, let me see if I can try something here. This is going to be an adventure. All right, so we're going to flip back over to Safari. So this is what I was talking about. if you search for NASDAQ net order imbalance indicator. You can probably find it. It's $15 a month. All right, let me try and add something here. Kind of nervous to do this. Okay, that's not what I want. I'm such a pushover. Okay. Excellent. Yeah, so there's the URL if any of you want this. Okay. We'll try that. Let me see if I can do. Who? Okay. Paired shares, 50 million shares, imbalance, 21 million shares, imbalance side, buy side, current reference price, 660. So I think we're up to 660 then. Let's flip back to Fidelity here. Yep. Okay. So there it is. There's that. There's the closing cross trade being initiated. So we're seeing those paired shares. I don't know if I have to refresh this. First time being in this. Okay, sweet. So imbalance side. Oh, damn it. Didn't mean to say that. Sorry. Okay. So what we're looking at here, we're seeing the paired shares. Looks like 54 million. Again, we expect, you know, need to be higher than that, which it looks like it is. So that's the imbalance. 18 million shares and the buy side imbalance. So I think we're going to see this number come down as we head towards close. Okay, so 17 million as the price goes up. This is literally first time looking at this stuff, guys. So, you know. I'm kind of freaking out. I'm glad we were right, though, about the closing cross trade. Jeez, $30 jump in 2 seconds. I hope somebody loaded up. See, this is why I shouldn't have been live streaming. I could have been sitting there loading up on call options. That's a bummer. Why did I do that? All right, sorry. I don't mean to. I'm not mad. It's fine. Just a little frustrated. Is this going to update or what? Okay, seven. So the imbalance went up. Reference price down. See, this is what I don't get. Why doesn't the reference price just keep going up? Very strange. This is supposed to be disseminated every second. I don't know. Let's see if I actually refresh. I don't know the hotkey to refresh in Google. Sweet. whatever. Well, I mean, that was exciting, but we're also back to like where we were 20 minutes ago. This is so crazy. F5, I'm on Mac. I don't think that works on Mac. There's function. All right, let's see. Function. Yeah, I don't know, guys. 669. This is fascinating stuff. All right, I'm gonna flip back to Fidelity here. Oh, so they're even higher. Very interesting. Oh man, I hope some of you bought call options at 6:30, like $40 price spike in 2 seconds. Jeez. Should have been making that trade. Y'all better sign up for Patreon to make up for me not making that trade. Patreon.com/Tesla Daily Podcast. I wish this updated more frequently. Trying to refresh my window, open VoiceOver. Classic. So, I mean, 670 seems to be the price. There's still 15 million inbound shares, though. 13 million now at 672. I wish I could have both. Oh, maybe I can have both of these. Let's see. Kind of nervous. All right, sweet. We are just cooking now. Live stream expert. That's not doing it. We'll put that there, I guess. Not really in a great spot. Okay. So we're seeing an imbalance. Oh, price is dropping again. Man, this is just crazy. But the buy side imbalance is still 17 million shares. Near indicative clearing price of 703. Fair indicative clearing price of 718. Why did I not see this earlier, guys? Man, should I buy calls right now? Okay, I gotta look at something here. I really hope I don't accidentally pull my account up. If I pull my account up, no looking. Oh my gosh, I am so stupid. These calls are just jumping around like crazy. Definitely should have been trading these. Oh my goodness. Sorry, I know this is like, I'm not saying anything. Okay, those just filled. Okay, Fidelity, sweet. This is a mess. My computer can't handle all this. Volume 175 million shares. All right, well, Fidelity froze, so that's cool. All right, what's happened here? Did we close? I mean, what's happening? Inbound share. 12 million unpaired shares, it looks like to me. I mean, that's my interpretation. I don't know what these clearing prices are. I guess 658 is it, right? You guys are saying 695. Is this just not updating? Oh my goodness. $6.95? What? What is going on? Why is this? Did you just freeze on me? Like, did Fidelity just completely crash? Like, this is their Active Trader Pro system. Oh my gosh. This is insane. Okay. All right. I have to call Fidelity, so I literally have to end the live stream because I have to call them. This is insane. Maybe I can just mute this. Hold on, let me see if I can just mute this. All right, hey guys, I'm literally con Fidelity. I just need to do some trades, so or I need to wrap up my options. So I know I'm muted. That's good, that's what I want. I'm gonna just try to wrap this up and then we can get back to the live stream. Although, I don't know what else there really is to talk about at this point. I don't know if you guys can hear that through the mic. Oh, that was crazy. Well, we got volatility. What's the trade at now? Why? I don't know why this is not 675. 179 million shares traded today. That's what we said. I mean, that's the normal daily volume of 50 million plus 120 million. This is nuts. The amount of front running, there was so much of it, you know? For them to be able to get 100 million shares like that, or, whatever that paired shares is at. 60 million shares. Oh, all right. Here we go. I gotta mute. All right, guys. Well, I'm on a hold right now. So just in case anyone's confused, I am intending to be muted right now. I'm just talking to Fidelity quick. and then we will go back to the conversation. I know this is weird, but you guys asked for this. No, just kidding. It was just the whole music switching over. Oh, I still don't really know what the price is. Fidelity is saying $655.90 close. Oh, that's yesterday's close. I don't know why it's stuck at $658 here on Fidelity. If I look at Google, it's $695, so I'm not sure. After hours looks like $681. Man, I know I've said it a couple times, but I'm super disappointed that I wasn't doing more trading when we got this, you know, perfect little dip there. Super big missed opportunity. All right, let's see what the chat's, what you guys got going on. Thinkorswim platform did not crash. Leave Fidelity. I'll let them know. I've been frustrated. Yeah, I'll cover my mouth if I say anything that's not okay. Settings, display, extended hours. Let me take a look. Well, this doesn't look right either. Well, if nothing else, this is hilarious. Fidelity. I mean, they're showing the bid ask there. So I think you guys can see that here by the volume. And that seems to be updating just fine, so. Seems like it's being relatively stable. The volume isn't like insane right now. Oh, there we go, 695. Fidelity just updated. So that must be the official closing price then. Super awesome that Google's website, if you just search Tesla stock, is updated before Fidelity's Active Trader Pro system. Awesome. So while I'm on hold here, let me explain the trade that I'm really upset about. in the last couple of minutes there, we could see that there was that imbalance. And the price was seemingly kind of skyrocketing there. We weren't sure where it was going to close, but the options contracts for December 18th today were... they were basically priced with no time value. So I saw they were 650 strike 650 strike contracts available for $5 because the share price was showing as like 655. But now obviously those are actually worth so it'd be like a those were $5 a piece, so it's $500 contract. Those are actually now worth, you know, $20 a piece, so $2,000. So it was like 4x in a matter of minutes. So that's why I'm mad that I missed on that, because 4x in a matter of minutes is a nice trade, and it was pretty high confidence, low risk, super low risk. I know I'm not muted, I just have my phone because I'm on I'm on hold. I know it looks like I'm talking on the phone, but I'm talking to you guys on the live stream. Just listening. But I'm still trying to explain to you why I'm frustrated about that trade, you know? Okay, let's see. Let me take this pin chat off. I think that's confusing people, also with the phone. I know it's confusing, guys. I'm not on the phone. I'm trying to talk to you. I'm just listening. I know this is not super entertaining. I did not expect to be on hold this long. Thought I had a pretty simple request. Tell your mom you can't talk right now. So what do you guys think? I mean, is that what people expected? Anticlimactic, climactic. I thought it was pretty exciting. All right, let me put this on speaker so it's less confusing and let's talk about. Nope. Oh, just the music again. All right, 1 second. That's. Okay. I'm just gonna have to grab that when this person comes back on and starts to talk to me. Oh man. I mean, I'm kind of surprised at the stability in the bid and the ask after hours. You know, before market close, we were just trading down at 6:30, right before that closing cross. And then it shot up $65, you know, 10% in 5 minutes. And now it is holding pretty stable in the after hours. I'm not really sure what's going on with this. I'm just trying to, on my window, pull up the. Yeah, so I'm not sure why there's only 60 million paired shares. Maybe the remainder, which seems like it would be 60 million more, maybe that was already acquired by the index tracking funds. I don't know. I mean, everything I've read and everything I've learned from people that I've talked to, I thought all that was going to happen on close. So I'm a little bit confused by those numbers. Maybe if Rich can take some time to answer another question for me. And I also don't really know what's with this fair indicative clearing price or this price variance thing. But I mean, all said and done, like closing up 6%, that's just really another day for Tesla. I know it's, you know, 695, that's a all-time high by quite a bit, but yeah, nothing too crazy. Bid ask at 677. All right. 178, 76 million exchanged on Yahoo. So, yeah, the volume here, I assume this includes pre-market and aftermarket. Oh, 1 second, sorry. All right, hey guys, I am still on hold, or again on hold for a little bit. This will be the last time. What I'm doing is, as I said, I have December 18th contracts that expire. So as I said earlier in the stream, just to catch people up, what I'm doing is exercising those and then selling them immediately and after hours. Because obviously I don't want to, you know, that's a lot of money to have to have there. So I'm just selling and then, or exercising and then selling immediately. So that's what we're working through. Yeah. Okay. So everyone calm down now. Looks like we've got about half the people dropped off. I'm kind of surprised that we've still got as many as we do here. But cool, it was fun. I mean, it was fun to go through that with you guys. Not what I had planned, but definitely fun. Sorry, I'm just trying to listen to if he comes back. All right. Oh, whew. It's like the end of a marathon. I'm kind of surprised at the stability after hours. Still seeing that bid at 679. Watching Dave Lee talking about you while you're muted. What's Dave saying? Why does Robinhood say 680? Robinhood's probably showing the after hours. Otherwise, they may just be taking a little bit to get fully updated. It seems like 695 is the closing price. Obviously, that's not really relevant anymore since we've now moved into the after hour session. The bid in the after hour session right now is 679.60. So yeah, Robinhood could just be showing that after hour stuff. Did the trades pair? So that's the big question for me. You know, if we look at our little NASDAQ sheet here, let me see if I can just even refresh this, see if there's anything new. That's not the one I want. All right, not sure what's happening, but let's see. Yeah, I mean, as for everything that I can see here, it looks like we ended with an imbalance of 12 million shares on the buy side. And this is the question that I've been asking and have not been able to get an answer to. I was asking Rich. I asked that trader that I spoke with today, what happens if there's this imbalance? And, you know, the answer seemed to come back of, you know, oh, there's not going to be an imbalance. Like, the price will go higher till there's not an imbalance. But there seems to be 12 million shares here of imbalance, which, do some math on that. $8 billion of unfulfilled orders. That's what it seems like to me. One sec. All right, we're done. I'm done. Trading. Okay, so that was quite the adventure. That would have been an adventure enough by itself without live streaming all of it, which I did not intend to do. And I did manage to at least make a couple of trades on that December 18th 650 strike for $5. So I guess, yeah, I got a couple of those, and then I was able to exercise them, and we'll see, exercise and trade them after hours. So I did get a good return on that in 10 minutes, which is great. I wish I would have been paying closer attention because that was just the first thing I saw. That was the first opportunity that stuck out to me when I just, kind of frantically was looking there at the end. But I think there was a ton of opportunity there, and I'm sure, we're going to see some stories here about people trading that are going to be pretty impressive. So, yeah, this is not really the world I usually am in. I'm an investor, but I like to try and learn stuff and take advantage of opportunities that may come around. And this, it was interesting. Hopefully we've all learned a ton through this whole process. And oh yeah, let me take my pin chat off here. Thanks for that, Rune. So where was I at with that? Yeah, so just saying this isn't my normal style, but going through all this, like I think it's important for even long-term investors to understand sort of the market dynamics, this closing cross trade, the impact of short selling, the impact of options contracts on all this stuff. There's just a lot going on, and the more that you have a better understanding of that stuff, I think the easier it is to be an investor, and the easier it is to like hold through volatility or to understand some of the factors that may be at play with volatility. Like if we hadn't talked about this closing cross stuff and we're just sitting here, we'd be seeing the stock drop into the end of the day on already relatively high volume, not really knowing what was going on. But because we knew about that closing cross, it was still a bit weird to see the stock, fall down from 670 to 630 in a half an hour. We still knew that that wasn't the end of the action. Like all the action was going to come in that last 5 minutes. So you can sit there and you can say like, okay, well, this is all just kind of random up until this point because no one really knows what's going to happen until those closing cross market on close orders become visible. And that's when everything starts going crazy. So if we didn't know about that, we'd just be like, oh my gosh, like why did it just go to 695 all of a sudden? Still like pretty shocking, but less so. And I think, probably a lot of you are going to have friends that maybe are curious about Tesla and, maybe watched a little bit of this during the end of the day, and now you can kind of tell them, like, which is, that's fun too, is just helping to broaden that knowledge and help people understand what went into the trade and what went on the last, 5 minutes there. So again, I learned a ton. DPCU Toe Juice says he's going to get a Patreon account just for me. So he or she, thank you. I do appreciate that. Again, I was sad I missed out on that trade. So I was here with you guys. You gotta support me for that. I'm just kidding. You don't have to. If you can subscribe, that's good too. I would appreciate it, but it's okay. Deep breath. The trade is now over. Tesla on Monday is going to be in the S&P 500. So, well, I guess it's partially over. So based on the volume that we've seen today, 200 million shares. It looked like the closing cross was about 70 million shares. There's still that imbalance of 12 million shares. I don't. This is the biggest question for me right now: is what's the deal with that 12 million shares? Why was there the imbalance? Does that mean that there are funds that still need to buy? And if so, are those funds then buying after hours, or are they going to wait until Monday, or what's going on? So that's a big question. And then the second big question is, okay, what's happening with the benchmark funds, because, you know, the total volume today was a couple hundred million shares, but we only saw in that last 5 minutes or so the volume was like 100 million shares. So that should be the index tracking allotment, but it doesn't seem like a lot of benchmark volume would have been in there. And now these benchmark funds are left with the decision of, okay, like, what are we doing with Tesla? How are we going to get equal weight, or are we just going to accept the variance in our alpha from not having a Tesla position? So that's what's going to be interesting about next week, is just, again, we've been following the volume, we'll continue to follow the volume to see how things shape up next week. And next week is Christmas already, so there's going to be, I think Christmas is actually on Friday, so the markets are probably closed on Friday. Rob, question, did we hit the 10% max up? That's a good question. I was saying before that I don't really understand fully how the 10% number was determined, if it's on like that closing price or if it's on like the last bid offer midpoint, right before close. If it was the last bid offer right before close, I don't think the 695 was 10% outside that. But again, I'm not sure if it's exactly from that NASDAQ FAQ, it wasn't exactly clear what that 10% was based off of to me. Can you switch to the market close tab? I am on the market close tab. That's the market open. There's market close. How come all the option prices dropped right at closing despite the prices being higher? I mean, I was talking to you guys. I didn't see the options other than those 650s that I was happening to be looking at. They disabled the limits for Tesla inclusion. So we actually talked about that. Unless there's newer information, the Wall Street Journal said they discussed disabling that limit but didn't end up disabling it. Question, do we know how many shares were sold at 695? I think that's the paired trade, so I think that's the 60 million. I believe all of those would have been traded at that $695 price. That's my understanding. What will happen on Monday? Your guess is as good as mine. I don't think we're going to see some big drop, you know, especially because we didn't see some huge increase. Again, Wall Street, I think, came prepared with this. So it's... if this was all priced in, then there should be no reason for it to drop, I guess, would be the way to state it. Sure, cross volume. So the cross volume was, yeah, that 69 million rather than the 60 million, which is, that should be the 695. So, yeah, I don't know that I have a whole lot else to add here. Some normal stuff that I would talk about in my normal episode. Model Y production out of Gigafactory Shanghai. It looks like that's now started. There's some photos. I think Wuwa on YouTube spotted maybe like 40 of them sitting in Giga Shanghai, or, you know, at least what appears to be Model Y. So exciting to see that. I'm still waiting to see. I don't think we've gotten November production numbers reports out of China yet. That's kind of what I've been waiting on to update my forecast for Q4. You know, I'm really hoping to see more than 20,000 produced, and I don't think we've gotten that number. Obviously, we had the delivery number that we talked about, but yeah, I don't think we've gotten that piece of it yet, so we'll see. All right, yeah, I gotta wrap it up there, but, you know, thank you guys so much for bearing with me through this live stream adventure going on, 2 hours now? It's been fun. thanks for the patience with going on hold. Thanks for your patience with me figuring out what I'm looking at here on all my stuff and getting it pulled up. Live streams are always an adventure. I'm going to, you know, see what other people are saying about this, and then call it a week and head into the weekend. Well, actually, I still have some work to do, but soon enough, which I actually get to. All right. Anyway, yeah, thank you guys. As always, really appreciate it. I hope you guys have an awesome weekend. This was a lot of fun. And I guess from here, well, I might do something this weekend. We'll see. It would just be a quick thing this weekend if I do. But yeah, other than that, you guys are awesome.